Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 470. You have beloved FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Kyle Ross with you. We have been helping you clean up on the NFL season thus far through the first 3 weeks. Last week, I went 9-7 on the games overall, 1-2 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock, but 28-20 on all of the games through the season, 4-5 on my big three, 1-2 on my locks. Kyle last week going 3-2 on his plays, bringing him to a sterling 9-5 for the season. Both of us had a little bit of a rough start the last year, Kyle, because it was such an odd, almost historical kind of start to the year. I had my infamous 0-12. You were much better than that, but atypical of how you've usually gone. But this year is a different story. We've been killing it coming right out of the gate overall.
Three winning weeks. Hopefully it'll be four. It's always a pleasure to talk to my favorite Republican about the NFL. I'll say this, though. This is a card that could make for some great radio with all these road favorites. We shall see how we come out on this. I anticipate, although you surprised me a little bit this year in the first 3 weeks with your desire to fade chalk. But, man, oh, man, do I hate this card. I looked at, when I first looked at these games, I was like, wow, this is ugly. And the end result is I am taking two teams that, quite frankly, no one listening to this podcast would want to take. So,
well,
there you have it, little teaser. It is an ugly card, deserves a couple ugly picks, and that's what I'm giving you this week.
I myself have got some pretty fugly picks here, but they will not be among my recommended ones. You have more guts than I do, as we've established before on this kind of thing, that you will make them among your recommended plays. I'm picking all of the games. I'm probably going to agree with you on your picks based on what you let me know off air, but no way in hell I would put any of those in my big three. I'm going to go a little more conventional on those, but we start the week with another of these Thursday night divisional matchups. They seem to be very fond of these this year. It's the 1-2 Giants at the 1-2 Redskins. Thursday night, 8:25 Eastern Time on CBS from FedEx Field and also the NFL Network. So Jim Nantz, Phil Simms, and Tracy Wolfson calling this game of New York at the Washington Redskins. And in this game, and looking at the quarterback for the Redskins, Kirk Cousins, I just want to say a brief thing here at the outset, because we have now what I have dubbed the Sparty 3 in the NFL, with Drew Stanton getting to play for Arizona the last couple of weeks, and, of course, Brian Hoyer starting the season for the Browns. I was thinking about this in preparation for the show this week. The notion of, are any of these guys legitimate starters? You keep hearing about this. In my estimation, there's about 20 legitimate starters in the league, guys who can get you to the playoffs. And on the lower end of that, I would have, quite frankly, the likes of Alex Smith and Andy Dalton, because they've done it. They've gotten their teams to the playoffs. You have guys with more upside, I think, that are above them. If you're in that next level, I don't think there is much of a separator between the third tier and the fourth tier. If you're not up there, it doesn't really matter if you're a low-end starter or you're a high-end backup, because you have the same qualities, essentially. You can be explosive, but you're inconsistent, or maybe you're just a pure game manager. But all three of the Sparty three guys can be explosive. And that there's an ongoing debate. The only one of the three who's playing this week, strangely, is Kirk Cousins, because Arizona and Cleveland are on the bye. We should probably mention the byes here. Arizona, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Denver, St. Louis, Seattle. So you've got this game here. Ultimately, I will not be going on the Redskins in this game because the Giants are the team that has the more momentum of the two. One could say that the Redskins had a good showing in Philadelphia. It did a lot for them. In terms of their confidence to hang with the Eagles on the road. But the Giants, again, you look at it, and they had a new system that they were adapting to offensively at the beginning of the year. There's a case to be made, based on how they played against Houston, that they've gotten some of the kinks out of the system here. I'm pessimistic about putting too much on either of the teams here and putting any expectations on them. But for the Giants, who are getting 3.5 down from 5.5 at the open, I still like them because, again, even if they lose by a field goal, I would still hit this one. So I'm going to say the Giants getting the 3.5 in this one. It's interesting that my pick was completely irrelevant to my Kirk Cousins point, but I did want to make that point in terms of, because it's an ongoing thing on this show about what constitutes a starter, what doesn't, and I just sort of had that flash in my head that, you know, if you're not in that top 20 or so, it doesn't really matter. And Cousins isn't there yet, but boy, he looks like he could be playing his way into it.
I wondered where you were going with that the whole time. I really had no idea.
It was completely disconnected from my pick, but I just wanted to kind of comment on them in general.
I had zero idea where you were going with that, so let me see if I can pick up the pieces here and offer something in the way of an intelligent response.
Okay.
Early money is on the Giants here for sure, as you noted. The line came down. Which shouldn't be a surprise. It's a division game. I thought the advance line, which you referenced, was up to, 5.5. I think it was even 6 in some spots on Sunday afternoon. That just seemed way too high. I'm a little intrigued by the fact that you are endorsing the Giants here. I know you're not going all in on them, given that you and I both picked Washington to win the division before the year.
Yes.
And the loser here, due to the way the NFL works, will be 1-3. I can't really see, so if I still believe Washington's going to win the division, which I kind of do, although, as I noted to you off air, as we kind of are now in this world of I called it first guy, I have zero problem being the last person to get on Kirk Cousins' bandwagon. You know, you talked about it last, you and I kind of had a point of contention about this last week. I thought you were doing a little too much singing of his praises. Now, he played very well against Philadelphia last week. He's played very well in 2 games, but he's also played against 2 very bad defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Washington is going to win this game. I would just not be confident laying the points. That's my
take. That makes
take.
Sense. Okay.
That would be my take. I want to see. This is the game where we find out about Cousins, I think. Because all he's done so far is air it out against the Jacksonville team that we know stinks. And then, by the way, RG3 looked good against them in the first couple drives. And then, you know, he kind of went toe-to-toe there with Philadelphia, but ultimately lost the game. So, you know, we shall see. Can Kirk Cousins beat a real opponent? That has not happened yet. I would like to point that out. The 2 games that he's looked best in his career were a couple years ago against Cleveland, and then against Jacksonville. I think it was Cleveland, wasn't it? Where he started. So yeah, let's see if he can be a real opponent first. Loser here will be in severe trouble, is all I know.
Well, and again, your point is very well taken. You and I both picked Washington to win the division, and to stick to that, you have to believe they're going to win this game. I have no problem heading for the life rafts because, again, I picked Buffalo to be a wild card before you did. I hit the life rafts on Buffalo in the preseason as you were picking them to win the wild card. So I will change with what I see as facts on the ground at the drop of a hat. And I'm just pointing that out. I'm going to be very, very cowardly about sticking to my guns on that. I applaud you for sticking to yours.
Well, I'll say this, while we're on that subject about sticking to our guns and making adjustments to what we said preseason, another thing that I hate about this week's card is a lot of the teams I want to talk about the most aren't playing.
Yeah.
Just to throw that out there. Arizona's a team that I obviously would love to go into in great detail, but they're not playing anyone this week. So, you know, maybe next week. Maybe next week we will wax poetic about the suddenly unbeatable Drew Stanton.
Yeah, how's that for my sense of timing? I start waxing poetic on the Sparty 3 on a week when 2 of them are sitting, so I guess there's that. But we referenced the Bills a second ago here. They're the next game that we are going to talk about, the 2-1 Bills at the 2-1 Texans. Think about that before the season started, that we would have been saying that about these records from NRG Stadium.
I figured that.
In Houston. Yeah, I guess so, but most people probably wouldn't have. I think Joe Public probably wouldn't have. 1 o'clock game Eastern time on CBS Sunday. The immortal team of Spiro Dedis and Solomon Wilcox on the call in this one here. And in this game, this is one of the hardest ones to call on the entire card for me. I really thought this game where Houston is laying a field goal. It was 4 points at the open. Both teams getting off the 2-1 starts. Both teams taking a step backward last week in disappointing fashion for both, certainly, the way that those games went down. And if last year is any precedent, Houston's going to drop the next 13 games as well, although I don't think last year is going to be a precedent here. But I keep going back and forth on this, and with the likelihood as of now, when we're doing this about midweek, of Arian Foster being back, I just think that might be the X factor here, because as we saw last week, it's a different offense without him in there. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I know is the bane of your existence, he is at least somewhat of a different quarterback when he's got Arian Foster to lean on, as he did the first 2 weeks there. And in a game with two offenses that all of a sudden really started to look questionable last week, that to me is the X factor. Buffalo is still schizophrenic with what they're doing with their running game. I say this as somebody who is a frustrated C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson owner in one of my leagues. Arian Foster is just more dependable. I'll take Houston at home laying the field goal.
This is one of the hardest games to call. You're absolutely right. Both teams through three games have really mirrored each other. You know, with the 2-0 start and then the two quarterbacks last week, we got both bad E.J. Manuel and bad Ryan Fitzhipster. The line is exactly what it should be, so I'm just going to stay away. Obviously, these are two teams that I picked to make the playoffs this year. Not a lot of people probably did that. And whoever wins is going to be in a really great position to do that. Buffalo probably needs the game more because they're not going to win their division. Houston, I really think, as much as, you know, Fitzpatrick isn't very good and they still have question marks, I just don't think they're going to need a lot of wins to take the AFC South this year. I mean, they could win that division. I think you and I were saying, you know what, 8 wins and they win the division at the beginning of the year. I mean, I certainly didn't think they'd win more than 9. So, you know, a loss here wouldn't hurt them as bad as it would probably hurt Buffalo, but you're right, Foster, you know, being back could be the huge difference. Without him, Fitzpatrick looked like the Fitzpatrick of Buffalo last week against the Giants. Houston had been a very run-heavy-oriented team the first 2 weeks, which is a big reason they started 2-0. So we shall see. If he's back, that is, I would totally agree with you that that would be a huge lift for Houston.
I think that definitely would be the case. And as far as how the two teams are shaking out here, yeah, Houston being in that division, and thank you for what turned out to be, you might not have intended it as a prompt for me to mention. Every week, of course, you can find this show and the FDH Lounge Power Rankings at the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the fdhlounge.blogspot.com. This week's Power Rankings are already up. And again, what we do from there is to distill the best and worst divisions in football. And right now the AFC South is the worst division in football by a country mile. That's why Houston is in such good shape at this point with just a 2-1 start and why they may be holding the hammer as things move along in this division. Moving along next to a team that got the hammer dropped on it, and as I referenced the power rankings, the team that moved to number 32, sliding even below the Oakland Raiders at this point, the 0-3 Tampa Bay Bucs, giving one of the most shameful performances in NFL history on a Thursday night at the 2-1 Pittsburgh Steelers, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Heinz Field on Sunday on Fox. Tom Brenneman, David Deal, and the lovely Tandalora Oakman on the call for this one. And again, I felt a little bit chagrined as you and I both had Tampa Bay last week. But again, you know, a loss can only count as one loss, no matter how bad it is. That's what I consoled myself with in terms of that. They never even came close to making the cover. This is a game where the Steelers are laying 7. It opened at 7.5. At one point, it was up to 9. And that
it's
was
floating around. You can still get, yeah, you can still get 7.5. It's certainly not going to drop past 7. Given the fact that the majority of the public money is on the home team here. I think about 73% of all wagers have been on the Steelers as of this morning.
Okay, so there must be a lot of smart money backstopping the other way. And that has actually taken some of the value out of this. I'm still going to go on Tampa Bay getting the 7 just because, again, it feels like a letdown. It feels like a take-it-for-granted game for the Steelers. And, again, I've spoken of this. I in particular, have gotten burned by a couple of these in the league this week. Even last week, I said, boy, there's no way Bill Belichick's going to be like these other teams and let his guys smoke blunts before the game. Well, clearly they did against
those
ones.
I told you.
Yeah. And that's, again, I got to start listening on these things here a little bit more. Now, it's not a look-ahead game for Pittsburgh, which makes me kind of wonder because, again, they got Jacksonville the week after. So it's not like they're looking ahead to anybody else. But I still think there's a decent chance for a backdoor in this one for Tampa Bay. I'll take the 7 points just because, again, if the public is convinced that they're going to get stomped again, a lot of times that is, as you've pointed out so often, reason to go the other way.
Yeah, I mean, you can get 7. I'm looking here across the board. You can get more than 7 in most places right now. I don't know what we're going to grade this game at, but I'm seeing a lot of 7.5s. And, yes, the oft-referenced 5 dimes, you can get them at 9 still, Tampa Bay. And I promised you 2 ugly ones this week. You referenced that we were on the Bucks. I actually recommended them last week, and that was awful. I think. How early did I text you during last week's game, this is a loss?
It was early in the first quarter, which tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you said it best, and there have been articles written about it. That was among the worst single game performances I've ever seen by a team in NFL history.
Yep.
So why wouldn't you come back with the Bucs the following week? My first recommendation is going to be Tampa Bay. They have an extra time to prepare. They've heard about now for over a week, you know, it'll be over a week that how they're the worst thing ever. They stink. Lovie Smith, by the way, first-year head coach here, still yet to win. He's desperate. Pittsburgh lost, despite the fact that you tell me what a great win, okay? Tampa Bay been a bad loss. Pittsburgh was a really great win for me last Sunday night. They went into Carolina, looked very impressive. That's also inflated the line because that was a TV game and people saw it. But what people are probably going to forget is that the Steelers lost 3 defensive players to injury in that game. Although I picked the Steelers to win the division, that's a pick that I'm not as confident in now, 3 weeks into the season, even though they're coming off a win and it started 2-1, and are probably going to be 3-1 after this game. I just think the points are too many. I think the Steelers kind of, as you alluded to, lay a stinker here, sleepwalk through it, get the win but not the cover. Tampa Bay is my first recommended play this week.
The other thing is, too, I the last couple of years, haven't really been enamored of the Pittsburgh secondary. They haven't really done a lot through the draft, which is their cherished method of building in solidifying those cornerbacks there. Mike Glennon, who you could certainly argue at this point the better of the two quarterbacks for Tampa, is going to be in there. You got Jackson, you got Evans. They've really been underachieving offensively. If he comes in, you know, what's a desperate team going to try and do? They're going to try and gun it to those guys. Don't be surprised if Tampa Bay even gets off to a quick early lead. You never know.
Yeah.
But, I think both of those
I agree with you.
Value in the point.
I agree. Ricky, I could not agree more. I see Tampa Bay coming out real fired up, probably getting the lead early and wilting late. I could not agree with your narrative more there. That's pretty much precisely how I see this game going.
All right. We'll see if you keep agreeing as we go along here. That will be fascinating to see. Next up, we have the 2-1 Lions at the 1-2 Jets, 1 o'clock Eastern time, MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey on Fox. The beloved team of 5-time lounge guest Kenny Albert, Daryl Moose Johnston, and Tony Siragusa on the call for this one. And the Jets, this one started off as a pick 'em. It is now up to Detroit laying a point here. I thought about making this one of my recommended plays this week. I was spooked last week. I actually picked the Jets, albeit not in a recommended mode there, because this is the thing about them. Ever since they stopped being good, and I'll define that as when they stopped making it to the AFC Championship game and just became the mediocre sad sacks that they have been, they've led the league in these penis-punching, undeserving victories. The Jets.
I thought they were going to get one last week. I thought they were going to get one Monday night.
They almost did. They almost did. And it's like, you look at how they made it to 8-8 last year, and it's like, you always have some bad to mediocre teams that steal games. But the Jets, and this is purely anecdotal, over the last 3 years seem to have done it more than anybody else. So this is one where I'm on Detroit because they are, okay, if you factor in 3 points for it being there, okay, so they would be 4-point favorites on a neutral field. They are a lot more than 4 points better than the Jets at this point. There's a lot of value in that. I'm just not going to make it a recommended play because, again, Rex Ryan just has a way of screwing the bettors in recent years here. And, you know, it's going to be something like Matt Stafford throwing like 5 passes that hit pigeons and drop for interception pick sixes. That's the kind of luck that the Jets seem to have on their side in games like this when you count them out. I'll take Detroit laying the point. I just don't like it at all.
See, given how bad Stafford's looked the last 2 games, if this was any other team but the Jets, I'd probably take the Jets.
But he's due.
He is, and the Jets' secondary is bad. Jay Cutler was not able to take full advantage of that on Monday night because his receivers are banged up. Now, I think Calvin Johnson didn't practice today. And Stafford has a nasty habit of forcing the ball into him too many times. He's had two really bad, you know, kind of interception punts, I think, like they're called, where you throw it long to Calvin when he's in double coverage and, you know, the other team intercepts the ball inside their own 10. Now, it worked for him last week because I think it led to a safety against Green Bay. That was an ugly game, by the way, Detroit and Green Bay. I should probably talk about that when we talk about the Packers. But, as you know, I hate the Jets this year. I think they're going to be very bad. I think that a lot of those games that, as you referenced, they kind of steal, don't go their way. We saw that, by the way, on Monday. I was convinced that that was for the winning week for me, the Bears-Jets game, as you know. Ricky, I needed the Bears to come through to make it the third straight winning week. They did, but I had no confidence when the Jets were going down the field on that last drive.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what they do to your head when you watch them.
Yeah, I was actually screaming the whole time, I hate the Jets. And I really don't hate the Jets. I just didn't think they had any business winning that game. Now, that said, they played okay. I mean, they drove the ball on the Bears plenty of times. Geno Smith was just Geno Smith. I'll say this. I've referenced it in the preseason. I think I mentioned it last week. The Jets are in the midst of this horrible stretch in their schedule where they're going to be facing Aaron Rodgers, Jay Cutler, Matt Stafford, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady in 6 straight games. I think Mike Tirico actually mentioned this on the broadcast Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
They probably will steal one of those games, and this does have the feeling of the one they might. Detroit's kind of coming off an ugly division win. Now they hit the road. Detroit's never very good on the road. They certainly weren't for your boy Jim Schwartz. I'm laying off this game. I'd love to join with you on the Lions because I don't like the Jets and I don't think they're going to win many games this year. But this just does have the feeling of that one they're going to steal.
It does, and I will say this again. I was always higher on Schwartz than you were, but as much as the Jets in the last couple of years tended to win games like this, Detroit tended to lose games like this where it's like, they should have no problem. And then they go in there and they gag it away. New coach, don't know if it'll still be the case with Caldwell, but again, if they lose, safe to say, same old Lions, no question about it. Another team with a new coach that got off to a great start, and then the last 2 weeks, not so much. The old Tennessee Titans. That is a Freudian slip there, as I combine the Houston Texans with the Tennessee Titans. 1-2 at the 1-2 Colts. 1:00 Eastern time on CBS Lucas Oil Stadium. Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon on the call for this one, and this is a game where Indianapolis is laying 7.5, that's what it opened at. At one point, it spiked to 9. This is kind of mirroring the Pittsburgh-Tampa game as far as that spread being kind of all over the place there. And my reasoning is going to kind of mirror that as well, and that being, again, everyone is quick to proclaim after last week, Colts back on track. They went into Jacksonville. I had them to lay an ass-whipping on the Jags, and they did. I only wish I'd have gone through with that as one of my recommended plays. Tennessee, again, I thought they'd sustain it a little better after week one, and they clearly have not. That win over Kansas City, where they just laid it to them, is looking more and more flukish by the week. I do not at all think they'll win this game because you got some real issues there with Jake Locker, some real identity issues on offense,
yeah.
Which way they want to go. But again, I just feel like the back door could be open in this one. This is a chance for the Colts to make a statement. I just don't know that they will. If they do, if they lay another impressive beatdown like we saw last week with Jacksonville, even though those two teams are very suspect, and that's being kind, I'll be quick to say at that point that I was wrong against Indianapolis because, as I said last week, the NFL is getting more like the NBA every year. Teams just do take games like this for granted. If Indianapolis doesn't, that'll tell me something. But I think that they will. I think Tennessee gets in the back door, loses, but gets within the 7.5.
I'd love to recommend the Titans here, but I'm not a Jake Locker fan, as you know.
But they're the Titans.
Yeah. As you also know, I don't like the Colts. I really think that this is a 7 or 8 win football team. You talk about teams taking games off. I think it also has to do with the fact that the league is just more even now, at least in the case of the NFL. I mean, that may not be the case in the NBA, but in the NFL, teams are just a lot more even than they used to be. You know, obviously you have your Oaklands and then your Jacksonville, so I made the mistake of backing at home last week against Indianapolis. Funny how that turned out. It'd be hard for me, as I sort of quasi put over the Titans in this spot here, it would be hard for me to see a team that's lost in blowout fashion back-to-back weeks kind of losing and failing to cover in identical spots 2 weeks in a row. I mean, this is basically the same line that they had last week in Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a better team than Indianapolis. So I can see a little Jim Morrison backdoor man special myself here. Tennessee falls just short of the recommended threshold here for me.
I can understand that completely. Next up, we have the 2-1 Panthers at the 2-1 Ravens. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Sunday, CBS from M&T Bank Stadium. Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, Evan Washburn on the call. The Ravens are laying a field goal, had been 2.5 at the outset. This basically is my 3A for the week here. I thought about making this a recommended play, one of my big three. Unlike you, I make it the same number every week, so I'm not going to have four of them in this. I just feel like in looking at this, we saw the beginning of the regression of Carolina Sunday night, of them coming back to earth.
Yep,
and
yep.
Again, to me, Baltimore, and so you're saying in terms of the Vegas folks here, it'd be even on a neutral field. They're only getting the 3-point home advantage. I clearly feel like they're better than Carolina at this point. And again, I'm realistic about Baltimore as well. I watched the entire game as they were playing my Browns last week, and they had their points of vulnerability against the Browns. No question about that. But I just feel like, again, particularly that Carolina secondary, which you've been very good about pointing out, great front seven, gets a little bit suspect beyond that. I think Flacco is going to have a good chance to open well overdue. I like Baltimore to pour it on here. I'll certainly lay the field goal in this game.
If you can get 3.5, which you're probably going to be on Sunday, maybe you take a shot with Carolina, believe it or not. I don't like the Ravens as much as you do. I believe you had them in the playoffs, if I remember. I think they're a pretty middle-of-the-road team. 7-9 was my predicted record before the year. Carolina, I had probably too low. I think I had them 5-11. They're probably also a 7-9 team. I think this line is fair. Baltimore is a much better – they did struggle at Cleveland, like you pointed out. They're a much better team at home. Week one lost to Cincinnati aside. This will be the third home game for them where they're laying a field goal or less. Now, like I said, it might go up to 3.5, and that's fine. The Ravens probably have to take advantage of this early season schedule. And like we said last week, you know, I played against Carolina. I thought the regression was inevitable coming into this year. Finally started last week. I'm laying off just because I don't like either of these teams. These are two teams that I probably like less than just about everyone.
All right. Well, that's good reasoning. Next up here, we got seven games left. Next up here, Big Hey at Chicago, Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern time on Fox. Kevin Burkhart, John Lynch, and the delicious Pam Oliver on this game here. And this is a game, again, Green Bay is, at this point, laying a point and a half, had opened as a pick. You mentioned it before against Detroit. They looked like garbage. I lost on the Packers last week on a recommended play. Wanted to go with the Bears because, again, this is a chance to make a real statement, open up some room in the NFC North that could be very damaging to Green Bay. I just keep coming back to this, though. Never overreacted the previous week. Eddie Lacy's gotten off to a horrible start, but Chicago hasn't really done too much against the run, notwithstanding being 2-1 at this point here. If they can restore the balance, that's the thing. Nobody's respecting the run. That's why everyone's teeing off on Aaron Rodgers. So I'm kind of believing his whole line of, I got this, because I think it's going to be a little bit of a different story against the Bears. He's had some pretty good success against them, including Week 17 last year. I will reluctantly take the Packers laying the point and a half in this one.
Do I make an on-the-fly added recommendation here? Last week, I made two right before the show went on. They went 1-1. One of them was Tampa Bay. That was not a good pick. The other was Chicago. The other was the Bears, and that was. I can't see Green Bay losing back-to-back division games, can you?
And the
Bears' secondary, I mean, this thing's turning into a mash unit. I mean, thank God they picked Kyle Fuller, who looks great, by the way. But how much difference can he make? Green Bay's got to play well once, don't they?
Right.
I mean... Oh, God. You know what? The thing is, I did say Chicago would be a wild card team. I'm kind of coming off that. I kind of want to swap Atlanta in for them right now in the NFC. What the hell, Rick Morris? On the air, on the fly, let's do it. A third recommendation. No, I haven't actually made it up my third yet, but this will be the second of three. I was only planning on making two. The Green Bay Packers get a recommendation this week. A railroad
favorite style.
Yeah, a railroad fan. I cannot see them losing this game. I just cannot see them losing this game.
All I got to say about that is welcome to the dark side.
We move
next to Wembley Stadium in London, best known, of course, for being the home of SummerSlam 92. But there will be nothing on this in this game that will match the excellence of Bret Hart v. Davey Boy Smith, because it's the 1-2 Dolphins at the versus the 0-3 Raiders. I was going to say at, but Oakland's giving up an actual home game here. 1 o'clock Eastern time. I guess that's 6 o'clock Limey time. Who knows? Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts, and Jenny Dell on the call on CBS. This is one where the Dolphins are laying 4. Had been 3.5 at the open. The Dolphins are just such a dumpster fire at this point. Again, I thought Oakland would have the worst record in the league, but I didn't think they'd go 0-16. Hence, they got to lose, or they got to win a couple of them along the way here. It's the same thing as when I picked San Diego over Seattle a couple weeks ago. I said Seattle's got to lose a few, and this could be one of them, so I have to make it that. How many times is Oakland actually going to have a chance to win a game this year? This is one of them. I'll go with the Raiders with the 4 points, but I think you won't need it. My fish might get beat outright.
Not a bad pick. Not a bad pick. I never play the London games. I just don't know what to expect, and I'm not going to play this one. By the way, shame on Joe Philbin for what is shamefully looking like he is going to make Ryan Tannehill out to be the scapegoat here, even though Tannehill's played against played behind a very poor offensive line for the last years. I know our own Jason Jones is chomping at the bit to remind everyone how he didn't like Ryan Tannehill. And I've never really liked Ryan Tannehill, but the Dolphins have a lot more problems than just Ryan Tannehill right now. No thank you on this game.
You know who has put over Ryan Tannehill from day one, just saying, is our former broadcast colleague on the Sports Talk Network and our fellow Ohio University alum, Joe Wall. He has been saying that on 92.3 in Cleveland for a long time. He's bemoaned the Browns not taking Ryan Tannehill on there. So all I got to say is, old buddy Joe, own that one, my friend, because it's around your neck.
Ryan Tannehill stinks.
just an idea.
I think, by the way, I just delivered a sentence there. where I said shame on Joe Philbin for shamefully doing something. That was a real overusage of one word there. A real overusage of one word.
Department of Redundancy Department approves. The 0-3 Jags at the 2-1 Chargers, 4:05 Eastern Time Sunday, Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego. Andrew Catalan, Steve Tasker, Steve Berline on the call on CBS. San Diego is laying 13 on this one, had opened at 14.5. It's been coming down, obviously. Maybe people are looking at this, maybe not. Again, as I said before, the tendency to take games for granted in the league right now. I thought San Diego would have a letdown last week at Buffalo. They didn't. You were right. I was wrong on that one. But I think that just certainly postpones it for a week because I just think they're going to have trouble staying up for this one. Yeah, the Jags are traveling cross-country, and that's always an issue. But again, I'll take Jacksonville to slither in and lose by 12.5, if that's possible, since the line is 13.
What? Lose by 12.5? How do they do that?
Well, that was a bad attempt at sarcasm there in terms of barely going to that clearly went over everybody's heads, and I apologize. That was a horrible attempt at sarcasm.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. First of all, I did not. You know, while I did not side with you in laying the points with Buffalo last week, I did still think the Chargers would probably lose and not look as good as they have. They have looked great. This is a team that is number 3 in my power rankings. I cannot possibly spend a couple minutes justifying a play on the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were awful last week. They've been awful for 10 quarters. But God bless America. Let's recommend them one more time, Rick Morris. No one is going to want to take the Jacksonville Jaguars. And when no one wants to take a team, that's often when I like to. San Diego, who's gone west to east and now back to west, you know, they've got bigger fish to fry than this game. They're a team who, yeah, they don't get blown out, but they're also really not built to blow a lot of teams out. They rely on owning the time of possession, long drives. Jacksonville, Blake Bortles, his first start, they stick around. They are my third of 3 recommended plays joining Tampa Bay and Green Bay.
That takes a lot of guts when you're talking about a team as good as San Diego right now and a team as horrid as Jacksonville. I certainly applaud your guts on that one. One more to go before we get to my big 3 for this week. It's the Monday night game, the 2-1 Pats at the 1-2 Chiefs from Arrowhead Stadium, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, ESPN, Monday night with Tirico, Gruden, and Salters on the call. This is one where New England has been laying pretty much about a steady 3.5 points throughout the week. This is one where I kind of went back and forth, and I know you noted in your, once again, excellent production notes before the show here that Kansas City has been the choice of a lot of the sharps out there.
They will be. I don't think there's been a lot of action. I see a favorite that hasn't played well. It's a national TV game. The sharps tend to side with the ugly dog, knowing that the public will be on them, and they're probably going to wait because, you know, all those folks looking for that Monday night bailout are probably going to steam this number up on the Patriots. I mean, that's just kind of a narrative that you
expect. The funny thing is, week one is actually an outlier for both teams because for New England to dump a game to a team as fugly as the Dolphins right now, they're not that bad. And Kansas City's not as bad as they looked week one. You and I were right that Kansas City's not going to have a good record, but they've shown the last 2 weeks they're going to be a team that loses a lot of close games. Even when they're overmatched, Andy Reid is going to keep them in the games here. And that would, on paper, seem to make me like the 3.5, but New England, to me, is they're due for a turnaround of some sort. And Kansas City is soft enough that they may be able to get it. I don't think they'll blow out Kansas City because I don't think Kansas City will get blown out of too many games this year. But if it was 10 points, I wouldn't really blink much. So I'll take New England laying the 3.5 Monday night.
I'm going to have to find some exotic wager to do Monday night. I don't like this game because New England has not looked good at all, and I don't like road favorites, especially road favorites, laying more than a field goal. But although I've recommended 2 dogs this week that I don't think are going to win, I just don't see Kansas, at least those two, Tampa Bay and Jacksonville, getting a lot of points.
Yeah.
I just cannot see Kansas City winning this game, and they're not getting enough points right now to get down on them.
Yeah. Well, that's a good rationale, because I agree with that completely. Okay, to my big three recommendations for this week. First one up here, the 2-1 Falcons at the 1-2 Vikings, 4:25 Eastern Time Sunday from TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. It would formerly have been at the Triple H Metrodome, but they don't use that anymore. Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, and Jennifer Hale on the call for Fox. Atlanta is laying 2.5 in this one, down from 3.5. This is like a borderline why ask why game. I'm 1-1 on those plays this year of where a line is just so bad I go the other way. I almost want to take Minnesota because I just don't understand. Okay, 3 points for home field, blah, blah, blah. Atlanta should still be laying a lot more than that based on how they've looked. And Minnesota without Adrian Peterson, oof. That's just something that, not even a mother could love. So I'm going to take Atlanta. I should probably be questioning myself on this, but taking them as a road fave here because I think there's a lot of value in not even laying a full field goal against the pathetic Vikings.
Yeah, you can't get down to Minnesota here. A lot of turmoil for a first-year head coach, losing his starting running back for an indefinite period, and then now he's got a rookie quarterback in there sooner than they wanted. What gives, I think, a lot of people pause here is Atlanta outdoors. Their one game that they played on the road so far this year, they got kind of owned by the Bengals. But as a road favorite, they've been pretty good under Mike Smith. I think like 12-7-1 against the number. This is a road favorite I don't hate, Ricky. It's a road favorite I don't hate. I'm not going to play it, but it's a road favorite I don't hate. Atlanta, I'm really interested to watch them the next couple weeks. I think they could get back to the previous year's level, to be honest with you. I think this could be a double-digit win team.
Could be. All right, the other two games in the big three. Next up, the 3-0 Eagles at the 1-2 49ers. 4:25 Eastern Time Sunday from Levi's Stadium, Santa Clara, California. Buck Aikman and Andrews on the call for Fox. San Francisco laying 5.5 in this one, up from 4. 49ers burned me last week. Eagles riding high. It just seems like there's a reversal of fortunes due for both teams. And we don't really have the time for me to get into it more than that, but that's basically how I look at it at this point. I think fortunes turn on a dime for both teams this week. I'll take San Francisco, even as I'm nervous about the 5.5, I'll do it.
The value's gone here, so I'm checking out on it. Eagles, a very misleading 3-0, having been down double digits in all three games. And I noticed this week, first time all year, you did not make fun of people for saying that the 49ers may struggle early.
Well, they'll be back at 2-2, so we'll see.
I agree with that.
Yeah, they will be. All right, the last one, my 1,000-star gold-plated Lock of the Millennium for NFL Week 4, the 1-2 Saints at the 2-1 Cowboys Sunday night on NBC AT&T Stadium. Michaels, Collinsworth, Tafoya on this one. New Orleans playing 3
goodness.
On the road, had been 2.5. I just
goodness.
Don't know if the Dallas can stop New Orleans right now. I think the Saints are just going to score at will on them. Give me the Saints laying the 3 on the road on Sunday night. I got a lot of dogs this week. I think actually more dogs than favorites, but where it counts, road favorite Ricky rides again.
What are you, 4-for-4 with this manure? She's road favorites.
Well, San Francisco's at home, but they're all favorites, and I got 2 road favorites among them. And, again, but for the year, I think I do have all road favorites. You're right.
It won't be as bad. Didn't these teams play on Sunday night last year and the Cowboys gave up like 800 first downs?
Yep.
I vaguely remember that.
Preview of things
Cowboys,
to come.
I'll tell you, the Cowboys haven't been that bad this year and the Saints haven't been that good. I don't like this game at all. No, thank you.
You don't like it at all. Okay. All right. Well,
as we
look at it here, you have Tampa Bay, Green Bay, and Jacksonville as your plays. And I have, of course, Atlanta, San Francisco, and New Orleans, a strong NFC slant to my plays, as was the case last week, strangely enough. I don't know why that is, but I've tended to go that way on these plays. So, again, an excellent first 3 weeks to the season, my friend. We are killing it thus far. I'm sure we'll be killing it this week again.
Look forward to seeing you again soon, Ricky.
All right, my friend, thank you so much, and thank you all, everybody, for tuning in this week to FDH Lounge mini-episode number 470.